We continue reflecting on this. Now, we cannot see all this that I've been speaking about, holiness, love, discipleship, in the Fool of Jericho, but we can actually see much of it. Because, of course, the New Testament is written in the Old, and the Old is revealed in the New. Now, of course, we need to update the context from physical to spiritual. Now, we are surrounded by a variety of spiritual Jerichos, villages, neighborhoods, homes, where the word of God is shut out. And some of them may be Rahabs, who've heard of the glory of God and the mighty things he has done. And hearing those things, their hearts have melted. They've turned to the Lord. But most, the many, shut their homes and their hearts against him. See, if we're to fulfill our kingdom destiny, we also have to begin with growing holiness and obedience in our own lives. And that's perhaps the key message of the fall of Jericho, that the good news of what God has done is actually a blessing upon our holiness, our discipleship, our obedience. So what happens in the story? Well, first of all, God chooses Joshua to succeed Moses and promises that he will be with Joshua. Well, that's God's promise to us. Surely Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Be baptized is the call in the Great Commission. Be taught, be obedient. And that's what happens next in the fall of Jericho. Joshua, representing the people, is called to meditate on the law, as we are called to study scripture and to obey all that Moses taught, as we are called to obey all that Jesus teaches. And the people symbolically were baptized in the crossing of the Jordan. I don't know where the river Anchor's got to the moment, but, you know, it gets quite big, it gets quite swirly, it gets quite floody, doesn't it? But it ain't nothing compared to the Jordan in flood. Raging, roaring, a torrent you wouldn't want to walk into. But the people cross the Jordan by doing what God says. God acts in response to their obedience, having promised that when they do what he says, he will do what he can do, what he alone can do. And the ark, representing the presence of God, clears the way. Jesus is the living ark, the Holy Spirit. Jesus within us leads the way we are to go. God opens the way for us to do what we can't do in our own power. Doesn't matter how many times Joshua would have stood at the edge of the Jordan saying, stop, let us cross. It wouldn't have happened. Only when the Lord did it, in the presence of the ark, being carried by the priests, did the waters pile up at Adam and the riverbed dry that the people could cross. And after the crossing, God orders a memorial to be raised up. 12 men are to set up 12 stones. 12 men representing the tribes of Israel are to set up 12 stones as a memorial, so that when people see them and ask, well, what is this doing here? They may be told. It's a sign of the Lord is powerful, and that you will always fear the Lord your God. And today we are called to celebrate communion, the living memorial set up by Jesus Christ, the true representative of all Israel, the living reminder of his victory over death, the promise of our eternal life, the blessing of his presence, and the call to take up our own cross. By it, all the world may know, and we with them, there is a God who loves us. Then we are told, now this is a strange interlude, when we are told that God ordered Israel to be circumcised. That was an act of dedication. And the Lord says to us, be circumcised in your hearts. Show that the gospel is written within you. A circumcision, as Paul says, by the Holy Spirit. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, when we live with the Holy Spirit, when we obey the Holy Spirit, when we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, when we act in the power of the Spirit, we are expressing our covenant relationship with God. The circumcision of our hearts, independence and obedience. And then Joshua meets Jesus. The commander of the Lord's army is not an angel. Joshua throws himself on the floor and worships him. We know from Revelation that no angel would accept being worshipped. The commander of the Lord's army is an appearance, an epiphany of Jesus. He is the commander of the Lord's army. We forget what Moses sang after the crossing of the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is a warrior. And as we read in Revelation 19, Jesus rides forth on a white horse, and the armies of heaven follow him as he defeats the enemies of God at Armageddon. And Jesus tells Joshua what he is to do. He promises him, I've already given you Jericho. I've already assured you of the victory. And we, as a Christian community today, are involved in spiritual warfare for the kingdom. But the victory's already been won. It was won at Easter. The Jerichos around us have already been given to us by Jesus. We don't have to win the battle. We have to claim the victory. That's what Joshua did. He didn't build siege engines. He didn't raise up ramps to scale the walls. He didn't set fire to the gates. He didn't do anything which was later necessary to overcome and destroy Jerusalem. Instead, he simply paraded the glory and the presence of the Lord around the city, worshipping him with ram's horns. The people were quiet. Just the sound of marching and the ram's horns and the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then on the seventh day, the day that we worship the Lord on, the praise was proclaimed in the shouts of the people as the trumpets sounded. The faith, the promise was fulfilled in their obedience, and the city walls fell down. So what might be our means and our purposes for progressing and walking in our kingdom destiny? Joshua was cleansing the land physically of those who opposed God. Joshua was playing his part in God's long-term plan to bring forth a nation in whom and through whom Jesus could be born for the salvation of the world. That's happened. We live in those times. Our task is to live in the good news. And yet, like Joshua, indeed like Jesus who became a son of man, God chooses to work through people. It's quite amazing. He could presumably save the entire world with a simple act of power. But he chooses to act through people. He fills us with the Holy Spirit to give us the power of the kingdom and gives us the authority of Jesus so we can go and properly use that power. So we can be his holy people, his priests, his ambassadors of reconciliation. See, we are called to walk with God in overcoming the Jerichos around us. That's what we're here for. And to do that, we need to grow in holiness. To do that, we need to live in love. To do that, we need to mature in discipleship. And as we walk with the Holy Spirit, as we grow in the fruit of love, as we develop in discipleship, we become people through whom God can transform lives. At the gospel message, the blind will see, the dead will hear, the crippled will walk, the deaf will hear, the crippled will walk, the dead will be raised, and the poor will receive the good news. So that message can be fulfilled in ways that are relevant to us today, by physical healing, by emotional healing, by all kinds of transformation. See, when I believe that when that happens, when that's the sort of thing that happens through us, then I think that the neighbouring Jerichos will hear of the greatness of God, and many of the people will be like Rahab and say, tell me more, I want to know more, my life's a mess, I'm living in the darkness, I'm trapped in this, I'm burdened by that, can your God help me? Now some of them won't, some of them will stay in the darkness. Jesus says some people prefer to live in the darkness. But I suspect and believe there'll be a host of heavenly parties for the many who turn to Jesus. And we will be there with them as we rejoice in the way we undertook our kingdom destiny. And I pray that the desire of walking in that way, the desire of being such a people, will be a fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our souls, in our own spirits, that we will be willing to step into our destiny. We'll be willing to rescue the citizens of Jericho who live around us from perishing in death. Because God wants the offer of salvation to be made to everyone. And if we don't make it, who is going to? May all this be to the eternal praise and glory of God. Amen.